And welcome everybody to the Configuration Persistence Service meeting for December 4th. We're just getting going here. And my calendar thing is going up. Okay. Okay. So what are some things that we wanted to add to the agenda here?
We didn't quite finish the architecture thing, so. But yeah. I think we have the material ready for that. So,
Right. So we can talk about the architecture presentation, certainly, and what we have left to present. Yep. And I guess we can report also on the
5G use case.
Yeah, the 5G use case realization call that happens every week.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to be in the hot seat there for a while.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You had given that so many times, though, that I figured it wasn't a big deal.
It was what followed after it. There was a couple of really good questions.
Right, yeah. I think it was pretty interesting discussion. And I had been holding those calls, that kind of call, for about a month, or for about a half a year. But only, you know, CPS hadn't quite developed like that yet. So maybe you guys weren't involved yet at that point. So
I'd been to a few of them, but it was good.
Yeah. And then the of course, as the project develops, there's more behind it too. So there's more, I think, intelligent questions being asked as well. So,
People are getting ready to use it. And when you to use things, exactly. That's when you really, and then when you actually use things, you realize, oh, I didn't think of that, because you never think of everything up front.
Right.
You do your best, but
of course. Let's see. So let's see. We talked about modeling. We talked about sort of the how would models change and updating. Kemmel asked about updating models and Yang models, and how would we achieve backwards or know about backwards compatibility. Those are some of the things we talked on, and maybe we're not really ready to answer all those questions, but those are some things that we talked about.
No, it's an outstanding issue.
Yeah. Any other items to add? I think we can mention maybe just the release stuff. And of course, we'll start off with the software.
Just a project status, I suppose.
Status, yes.
And then we need to continue working with Hassan.
Right.
If they
I don't know that they're going to be on the call today.
Swami was there.
Yeah, Swami is here. On the call. Okay, yeah, so we can continue this on OF discussions. Good.
Yeah, because I think Tuan has some big question on there.
I think he's in India, I want to say, so we'll start off with that maybe right after the project discussion. okay, so let's go into the project software status. Toyn, did you want to share? I'll stop sharing.
Yeah, please, if I can, yeah. Can you give me host rights?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. Now, this is full screen. How do I change over? Okay, I need to click one more button.
Oh, it's coming.
And then you should be able to see my screen.
Gert. Kanban.
Yeah, to start with the Kanban board is probably the easiest. So where are we in progress and what we're doing? Yep. So this week we ran into a bit of an issue with the way we're we wanted to store the raw Yang files. We kind of assumed that we could store the modules as they were from the Yang parser, but that turned out not to be possible. So instead we need to store the actual original files, the content of the files that has been submitted by the user. So we had some discussions around that and we came to a conclusion, and Ruslan is busy implementing that at the moment. But that's,
thanks,
that's
Ruslan, for well, highlighting that.
Yeah, that was definitely a good catch. We have some user stories in progress, just to kind of, this is what we now call the admin stuff, the CPS admin stuff, so things around anchors and data spaces. And Aditya is working on this user story to retrieve all the anchors from a data space. Again, it's I think it's progressing quite well. I think she's just waiting for some testware, and she's also not, she's not 100% of her time committed to CPS at the moment, so she has to balance things a bit, but I think that this should finish early next week. The third one there, CPS 43, is really the one that I mentioned earlier. That was what all the discussion was about, and but this is being wrapped up now, and I see that Ruslan has taken up the next task to associate the anchor with that schema set. And that's the terminology we use as well. Now we change our terminology slightly, so instead of module set, we now talk about a schema set, because it technically doesn't really refer to a set of modules. It contains a set of modules, but it's not really a set of modules. If it's a technical detail, but it makes sense from the API point of view to use the right terminology. So myself, I haven't had that much time, but I looked a little bit more detailed about the models that were supplied by the SonarWave PCI team, and that's what Tony was referring to earlier. I have some questions about that that I hope to can clarify in the latter part of this meeting or in the next meeting. And then finally, Neve is busy in all the API changes that, or the API that we agreed and that we presented here last week. She's now busy actually implementing that. So unfortunately, we already have a bit of a code base that now needs to be refactored to be in line with the agreed API. And because we're also working on several user stories in parallel, it's causing a little bit of a hassle, but we were trying to small commits that we can merge quickly, try to progress that, but it will probably take another few days to complete that. So that's at kind of a user story level what's happening. I should have had a quick look at the bugs first, really. Let's do that now. Yes, we had one new bug reported, but I think it's already solved. I just merged something. Apologies, I just need to. No, wrong button. That's the same thing. That's done. And this one, it should really be in progress, because I know that Claudio's working on this. We discovered that our Sonar job that we had, we're so proud that we had set up last week, and that when we look back, it stopped working somewhere halfway the week, and we weren't quite sure why. Claudia has found the issue, and I the code has literally just been merged, so we need to check now if this works again. That's the only bug we had. Is Claudio on the line? No, he's not on the line. Okay. Now we can skip this. We talked about this more or less. We need to change this to open. This is the stuff that was merged last week. So we did merge stuff about, this is an important one to mention, I think, it's the data fragmentation. That was an old patch of myself that was not finished and has merged. And also, this is quite important. We realized that the check style, the quality checks of the ONAP standard weren't quite as strict as we thought. So we extended the profile somewhat. So we're inheriting the original ONAP check style template that's used for all projects, and we've added some of our own rules to that. some quality issues that we started noticing, and we were wondering why they weren't flagged automatically by check style, and now Claudio has made a change that gets flagged automatically, so we actually cannot submit our code without adhering to those additional rules. So that's all good progress. And then I just want to have a quick check if there's anything open that we need to mention here that is hanging. I don't really think so. No, this is what we already mentioned. Neve is working on adding the common module. This is all part of the API and the SPI, the common object. That's the part she's working on. Ruslan has actually introduced, this is well worth mentioning. Ruslan has introduced a Docker-based way of testing our database implementation. So the database layer, we can now spin up a Postgres database with some real data in it and run tests against that using our implementation, our SPI. So yeah, thanks for Ruslan for adding that. I think he's wrapping it up. We did decide to split it in a separate commit and not do the production code. But I think again, it's almost completed. And then finally, these are actually the changes in the database layout or the database schema, the generic schema that he was making for the schema sets that I mentioned earlier, that are being tested by what's in here. So it's all in progress, but in a good state, progressing well. I think that's it from a status point update point of view. This is
so just a quick question.
Yeah.
As we have things happening in release 8 and release 7, do we need? Is there a view between releases that we have, or?
Sorry, will you remind me? I'm very bad with version numbers, and I went wrong here before. Release 8 is Honolulu, is that correct?
Yeah. Release 8 is Honolulu, and release 7 is Guilin. I don't know that we have much.
Well, I didn't think we officially released anything in 7, and that's why I wanted to make sure that you're referring to those releases, because we did a POC, but the POC as so such was not released.
That POC story has been closed, and I moved the modeling... the POC epic has been closed, and I moved the modeling story from that epic into the R8 CBS. So Tuan's epic, Tuan's main requirement, now has the modeling story attached to it.
Okay. So there's
that was the only thing that was outstanding, and that was closed. The requirement that we had for implementation on the config.db, that was essentially just follow John and Sandeep and Swami have... I think it was Swami actually confirmed that the regression tests covered the implementation. So that I think was also closed. I hope it was closed properly. But
so essentially, it's kind of a non-issue right now, because you're saying we don't have, essentially everything is in one release. Maybe more in the future, it'll be more of an issue when we have.
Yep. Now, the only other thing potentially was the backward compatibility with the Sun PCI model, but the Sun PCI are changing their model completely. So there's the old one is essentially going to go away. So there's nothing from our perspective in CPS to do there to preserve compatibility, because we're working through that use case or the updated use case now with those guys. So I think we can pretty much close the book on R7.
Yeah, that's my understanding too. I do have, and actually just what I was trying to do there is related to it. When we create books and stuff like that, we need to refer to a release that is affected by it, where the bug occurs. And at the moment, I've just added the POC there as the only release. Am I understanding correctly, are we not releasing anything until the end of Honolulu, or are we releasing like snapshot versions as we go along? I'm not fully aware. So are we releasing sprint versions, or is that not the case?
I think a release is at the end. So that's where all the milestones lead us to. I don't think that stops us from having snapshots that are made use of by other teams.
Correct.
That has to be possible.
Yeah, so okay. I think before, officially now M3, what used to be called M4, is when you officially, quote unquote, release your software, but for the R drops for integration. But I think we're trying to move towards like a continuous integration model. Which basically means, you know, when you introduce a change, you're continuously integrating, so you're not breaking stuff, so that essentially you'll find that there are times where just people need your software, especially like the end-to-end software team and OFSON PCI, they just might need.
That would mean that the OOM stories would have to move up the priority list, so that as soon as SON starts, or end-to-end network slicing, whichever comes first, starts to use the CPS, that they're able to get something that has a deployed artifact to run against a database instance. So that could change the priority of some of those stories in the backlog.
Yeah. So we didn't have that concept before in ONAP, or the concept existed, of course, but we didn't really do that before, and they're trying to move towards that. So it may not happen in R8 is actually the first time they're trying to move to a more agile Kanban form of software development, as opposed to like a waterfall method, which we've used in the first, sort of seven releases. I think it'll take some time, partly just to get people on the same page with, terms and concepts and things like that. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm used to using it some kind of way. You have a release per sprint, like an official release per sprint that other teams can use, and then might even go out to your customers like a sprint later. Mm-hmm. And you can also have snapshot versions. So there's different ways to share. Sure.
But
we need to work with the SonOF team, see what exactly they need and how we can fit that. And then I think for Java at the moment is fine. I just say whatever issue we have, just say it affects the POC. I don't think for Java it matters that much. But yeah, we need to have something deployable maybe sooner rather than later.
Hmm. Well, we have Swami on the call. Swami, do you have an opinion of that's one of our customers essentially. So
yep.
I think he was on the call. Oops, maybe he dropped.
No, I think.
Oh, hello. Is that Ahila?
I think Swami left a couple of minutes ago. He had put a note in the chat also, I think.
Okay, yeah. Let me see, look at the chat. Where's the chat?
Okay, so that's probably one of the things we need to add to the discussion with that team, how we're going to do that.
Right.
So apart from that, is there any other questions on the project status update? If not, I'll hand it back to you, Ben. Apologies.
What's going on here? There it goes. Okay. I thought my keyboard was locked up or something.
I also got that issue the other day that when you try to edit something, the page goes back to the top sometimes suddenly.
Yeah, that's very strange. I don't know why it does that. I've had that happen to me a lot. We do have a number of people actually on from end-to-end network slicing and the OFSAN. Maybe Swami did say he might come back later in the call, but maybe we should just touch on this topic now, as we have, I see we do have people there. Do we have specific sort of topics we want to talk about there, or
one of the specific questions I really like to go, and there's been a few mails been sent with two different network models, and then there is some confusion, and in the mails also the two use cases seem to be overlapping. The end-to-end network slicing and the SON PCI use case and the models. And I really need some clarification there, because I'm not quite sure what we need to prioritize now and which model I should be looking at first. And what use case are we really going to work for? Because in the very last mail, it seems that the network slicing was prioritized. Whereas before that, I always thought we were prioritizing the SON PCI use case. So I'm a little bit confused there, and I hope that we can clarify that during this meeting.
Mm-hmm. Do we have, I don't know, Rajiv or Ahila, or are you guys working the OFSAN use case or the NN network slicing? I don't know that we've really engaged the slicing team so much. Yeah, okay. So I guess I'm not sure. So we still have yet to actually go to a slicing call. Maybe we need to do that at some point, actually.
Yeah, that was planned. I forget for what days. But...
Yeah, so...
Maybe I thought there was some overlap in the team, that it was a lot of the same people were involved in both the network.
Well, I think Sandeep maybe, but
okay.
So we've written that we need to attend their calls. We haven't actually done so yet, I don't think. And sometimes I don't know if Ahila or Aditya or Rajiv or I don't know if Krishna. Do you guys want to say anything about those two teams?
So I think I'm not involved in the mail thread. I don't know like about sharing the network models. Maybe like I think for network slicing the model is not going to change, but I'm not sure like what Swami has in mind. Like he's involved in both the use cases. Like what they have in mind, I'm not sure. Like
Swami is involved in both use cases. Okay, but nobody else here is involved in both use cases.
Yeah, Ben, I think for network slicing with respect to run slicing part, Sandeep. I mean, yeah, of course, Swami is our lead, but Sandeep was working in that part.
Yeah, it's actually Sandeep that sent that last mail referring to the network slicing and asking whether, well, he's suggesting that should be prioritized.
Yeah, Sandeep mainly all things is communication between SDNR, ConfigDB, was working on that part.
Okay. So I guess that's still kind of an open thing. We did have some people on one call a few weeks ago, November 20th. So maybe Toyin and Tony and I can kind of take that offline and see, and then unless you want to discuss it here, like when, who, how, where do we attend the calls for the network slicing, and it probably takes some time to, to get on their call potentially, right? So,
yeah, we have the Monday call, which is end-to-end network slicing call, and then we have the on app, the run slicing with the OSC team, ORAN OSC team. Mm-hmm. I mean ORAN team.
Yeah,
that's the Thursday call. Sorry.
All right. Okay. So one of the topics about prioritizing models, Toyin, I guess maybe.
Well, I have two models, and I'm still unclear whether I have the impression that one model is intended to be used for both use cases, both the end-to-end network slicing and the SON PCI, and the other model is just for the, but that's my understanding, and that's what I'd like to clarify. So maybe the intention is that model that contains information for both use cases is the one they want to use, but that's the question I have.
Does anybody know the answer to that?
Yeah, I think we need Sandeep or Swami to...
Okay, all right. I do intend to attend the SON call after this one, so I can also...
I'll be there as well, so...
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, the last few Fridays, they kind of... Did they not say they tried to join the last half hour of this meeting? I think
they actually saw me in the chat, if you look. He said he is going to try to join later on this call as well, so he might do that. He might do that as well. Okay. Did anybody else from the SON, OF SON team want to say anything?
No, Ben. Nothing from my side also.
All right. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the architecture work. So we had started the presentation, the architecture subcommittee presentation.
Did Shakar say that he put notes in that at the end of the meeting?
Notes in that. Let me see.
I had a question about he said, no, I think he said something about the page, that they would put something in the page, but I didn't see anything.
Okay, because neither did I, but it wouldn't have been easy because I didn't look.
I did have a quick look directly after the meeting on a Monday morning as well, because he ended the meeting saying that he would put in some comments, and he asked us to look, specifically you, Ben, I think I asked you to look into something. But yeah, he said he would back it up with some comments, but I wasn't clear where he was going to put those comments. I didn't see them on the page or on the Jira or anything like that.
I did see that it said it was going to, am I on the right page? Yeah.
There, you had it there. It was saying that part two was on the 8th.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. I did notice that it did say part two was on the 8th. So maybe that's...
Maybe that's the only comment he intended to add.
So do we remember any, the only open point was that he said we'd continue this. I don't think there was any really major open point. We ended. So let's take a step back. So there were, he crammed 4 calls in on one call, which was a lot, right? And
tight deadline though. He's trying to get everything done prior.
I mean, understandably, we understand why he did that.
Doesn't mean it didn't hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, the point is that we weren't able to get to everything. And we only at the end had 10-15 minutes at the end to present everything. So we kind of raced through the context and overview and got partway through this piece. Right?
I think we completed that. I just got to the point where we would start with the concepts to explain the interfaces.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was kind of a good point to break, actually.
Yeah. Okay. It did feel a little bit rushed in general, I guess. But I don't know that, I know. So I had a meeting with him. Oh, actually I do know. So I had a meeting with him yesterday. And one of the things, I talked about with him was this landing page. So are you guys familiar with this?
Yeah. You've shown it before.
Yeah. So this is currently the Guilin R7 ONAP architecture page. And you'll notice that he, I had mentioned that maybe you shouldn't color these gray at the last architecture meeting, so he colored these slightly differently. And he's actually working to color these a little differently as well. And so we talked about basically where CPS might fit in. And he said that we can kind of just discuss this at the next architecture call. I suggested, so I was asking the difference between these boxes, these major boxes and the shared services. And I think, it feels like CPS is kind of a shared service, and certainly in prior architecture calls, it was like that as well.
Yeah, that was the decision a long time ago.
Yeah, right. Let me see. So, I don't know if this is going to work. So he told me a little, he taught me a little thing. If you put -dev, that's a sandbox thing. That's why it's prototype, but I don't know if it's actually going to work. Okay, maybe not. So one thing that he did mention, I remember him talking about in the call, is he said that we would talk about where CPS would fit in this diagram, which he hadn't added yet. And also when I met with him yesterday, we were talking about that also. I don't know if you guys remember that, but that's something that we did definitely did discuss. So as a topic. So I don't know if it really affects our architecture presentation per se, but it is a point. So you probably I don't know if it'll be addressed next week per se. I don't know that it'll be addressed next week actually, because there's only two presentations that I'm aware of next week. Let me see. I'm giving a presentation on the service modeling, which is fine, because that, even though that's potentially a 45-minute discussion as well, I think we'll go first, so we don't have a problem there.
I think there were a couple of requests that came in
trying to shove five presentations in one thing might be an issue, but two is not an issue at all, I don't think.
Yeah, I think there were two more that came in.
Okay, let me see. Non-functional requirements. I don't see anything. Maybe they just came in by email or something, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. They were by email. But they, I don't think they've been processed yet.
Okay.
They were just requests.
Gotcha. Okay. So unfortunately, like, we were the first one in on December 1, but we were the last to present. And I almost said something, but I held my tongue. But he did promise we would go first, so I think that's
he did make that promise.
Yeah, so I think that's good.
That would make sense, since we stopped halfway our presentation.
Exactly. Yeah,
it makes logical sense to continue there where we left off the last time.
Right. So I think we should be fine. I just wanted to kind of go over. Where we are here. Is there any, before we're about to present again? And I think we're starting here.
Can you remind? Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I seem to remember, but I've done these a couple of times. Did I go over the concepts of the data space?
No, you didn't do this. You ended.
You ended here. I think you have to do the concepts again, even if you had done them before you go into the address, because the audience won't be exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
It's a logical place to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
No, I think I did a quick rehearsal with Niamh a couple hours before. That's probably what confuses me. I seem to remember that I went over them that day, but that was just a rehearsal, let's say.
Yeah, so I think
I'll start there. Yeah.
And these are pretty well-refined slides, so I don't think that will be any kind of an issue.
Some of these are new. The API Niamh has extended that somewhat, as opposed to just one picture, where we now have about four slides, which it provides a bit more detailed view of the Open API kind of Swagger view.
That's good. Okay, and then Bruno's. These are Bruno's latest slides, right, for state management, I think. Yeah. This is new. I recognize. So. So Bruno, you're aware that you were on the call, I recall, I think.
Yes, I was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're carrying on next Tuesday. Is this okay for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll talk about that. And then I did also, Jacqueline was also on the call. I asked her to attend. And of course, she was on the call, but of course we didn't get anywhere near to this point. And she's talked about this yesterday, so I think this is pretty good. I maybe need to add some notes here from yesterday's call, actually. That's a thing I can do right now. Modeling. Okay. Okay. Oh boy. That's the wrong thing. That's what I need. Here we go. So I think I just maybe add this here. Here, and then we added some new things here. Hmm. Okay. All right. And then we go on to talk about the roadmap really quickly and some of the other use cases that we're working with. And this is hopefully one of the later OFPCI calls here. Yeah, so, and then we probably won't get much into the appendix. Any other thing that people can think of we're missing or want to add or want to describe? Is there going to be sort of a demo piece anywhere? Or where is Neve?
That's not normal, I think.
No, it's not. We don't have to do that. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we have to use all the time. I mean, yeah. if we get it done and there's questions and I mean, I don't believe we actually need approval for this at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's no harm to have approval and the blessing of the architecture committee.
Sure. And there's the share information, you know, and, right? With the,
yeah, absolutely. With the, that's essential.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all, I mean, Tony's absolutely right. We don't even need architecture approval, I don't think, because we're approved as a separate project anyway. But I think we're using this opportunity partly to share with the architecture subcommittee and people who regularly attend to spread the word of how a lot of this works.
And I think it's more important that the SAN and the end-to-end network slicing and any other use case that's going to use CPS has you know, signed off with Tuan that the capacity and the architecture changes or any impacts are good to go in that release.
Yeah, and those two teams we've been working closely with, or well, one team we've been working closely with, and we are targeting
one team that we want to.
Yeah, we want to try to work with the other team. Okay. So, all right, good. So let's move on then. This is the updated pack. Okay, I think we're good. December 8th. Okay. So for the 5G, so let me just bring up the so the use case realization call yesterday we were discussing the 5G service modeling and 5G topics. Maybe that should be a little bit better spelled out. So once a month, the idea is that we would be discussing 5G topics and service modeling. This isn't necessarily a part of the thing, but it so happened right now. It's kind of a thing, right? So, but 5G topics, and there used to be a call that was run regularly in the community with myself and the AT&T, Vimal Bigmani, I don't know if you know him, before he retired, on just talking about 5G stuff. So we decided to merge that into the use case realization call. And so Andy Mayer and Scott Blandford, who is on the call yesterday, are now the new representatives from AT&T. So once a month, we'll be discussing the 5G stuff. And For a while, probably we'll have the service modeling as one of the topics. So that was, I was also having one-off meetings on that topic. So we just happened to focus that last meeting, and we'll continue in the next meeting about that as well. just so people know. So one of the things, and a lot of people obviously were not on yesterday's call, which might be good to just cover what we talked about. So we talked about the 5G service modeling in general, but Jacqueline talked about the modeling for CPS and her work there using the resource app model. And the idea is that this model allows a vendor to bring in standards-based and vendor proprietary-based configuration and models into ONAP and integrated into the existing into the existing platform information model smoothly, and then in runtime you have a resource app instance data, and this is some of the discussions we had. So we talked about the Yang model revisions, and basically, essentially saying, do we need revisions of to keep track of, you know, the revisions of the Yang models here. And then Fred Oliveira from Verizon had asked about, or had mentioned that there are configurable properties in the PNF and VNF descriptors that might be used. And so we talked a little bit about that. And then also finally the we talked about backwards compatibility and data migration, which is still, you know, that's sort of an ongoing open topic that we will eventually resolve. So, and then Jacqueline also talked about in R8, how this, the work here will extend the stuff started in R7. Notably, one big thing is that there'll be, instead of a 0 to 1 cardinality, where 0 meaning that we're not using this, and 1 meaning just take whatever's there as is. R8 extends that concept a little bit further to allow for multiple models to be managed for one resource. And one example she gave was that models that have different interfaces and for a resource. Okay, any questions on that?
Yeah, Ben, Kamal here.
Yeah.
I mean, regarding the revisions, yes, definitely. I mean, the revision should be included. I mean, it is there, but Jacqueline will be adding this. Like the revision will contain the description, the reference. It's a string. You have a date and then your description and the reference. So, and from my experience, that apart from the revision, some of the beliefs or some of the parameters, sometimes they put them optional and became mandatory, or vice versa. So let's say in this revision, it is mandatory. And then let's say if you upgrade and then you have another revision of Yang model, it will be optional. So this is just, I want to highlight this, that there is a case where you can have a leaf or a parameter mandatory in previous revision or became optional, or was optional and became mandatory.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's a very.
Yeah, I think one of those can be problematic.
Yeah, that's just this.
I think from optional to mandatory can be problematic unless it was originally defined with the default value.
That's a very interesting case. Yeah, that we need to think about. And so that kind of is similar sort of to the backwards compatibility. If things change and models change for the same resource and things within the model change, such as this, that affect how you handle parameters and what they are, or new parameters that go away or get introduced.
And from a CPS perspective, what's going to actually look after that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So,
and because then, I mean, we have very clear responsibilities right now with the CPS core looking after the persistence of data that is defined by well-written Yang modules. And then we have the XNF proxy, which is looking after the or taking ownership of data that comes from network functions without doing any data transformation.
And I think also the who's the master of the data? I think sometimes CPS might be the master, in which case it needs to know about these kind of things, right?
But again, that depends on the application. So the application will know which is master. So it again, if we put XNF data through the XNF proxy and into the CPS, does the XNF proxy then assume the role of or is it configured such that it understands which is master? So it's an interesting one, and I don't yet haven't finished thinking the whole thing through myself.
Is it in one of our topics? Is it
the mastership is in part of our project proposal. Is it one of our issues? I mean, I didn't put everything from the project proposal in as an issue. But as and when we're getting closer to it, I'd be inclined to put them in.
Sure.
I just want to go back to what we were discussing a minute ago regarding the revision and the additional information stored in the Yang modules. There is additional information there, like descriptions. And to be honest, I did recently, I was wondering about it. How do I describe this? Currently, we're only interested in the data that actually describes that describes the data, the constraints, the restrictions, the types, all that kind of. So any metadata that's not really needed for the validation. I'm actually not even quite sure whether the ODL Yang parser exposes that information. I know it's in the raw files, but I'm not sure if it's exposed, and it's something we haven't considered using or describing. You could call it model meta information, I presume. So when I talked yesterday about the revision itself is just a unique identifier. It is a string, but then there's an additional description property that is in the Yang raw file. But as I said, I'm not even sure if the Yang parser stores that information and exposes that information. So, and I'm not sure if it's part of the CPS's role to expose that information. I'm inclined not to see it as part of the CPS core role to do anything with this data, but
no, it doesn't. That's down to the owner. If there's any exposing, and that's where the ownership and the registry come into play.
Okay.
But if in terms of identifying unique modules, for sure we're going to need the namespace and the revision to figure out within the CPS if a module is unique or. But that's internal handling. That's not visible outside of CPS. I think you're correct there, Tuan.
Yeah. See, it would be possible. There is, like I said, meta. There is, and I'm thinking of. I've seen systems where you have the option to describe a certain part of your model, and then there's meta information that's exposed, and like there might be clear text descriptions of certain fields, what they mean, how they should be interpreted. But again, that I don't see that as a part of the functionality of CPS to expose that information.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of what we were talking about with San last week or the week before. I guess it was the week before because we didn't have the meeting last week. Where we were talking about the round trip. So when an update was made by San towards the network function, then how was that going to be represented in the CPS? And, if there was latency between the update towards the network function and its visibility in the CPS. So we were starting those conversations, and they were good conversations. We had an idea that there would be a another model that described pending states for parts of models that had been updated. So an XPath pending kind of thing.
From an historical or temporal point of view, are you also considering the time information that could be attached to data, to a data instance as metadata? Because this is something that probably at some point will need like a kind of metadata, like a timestamp for a specific data to keep track of history.
Yeah, that's a really good an elaboration of that idea. So that model could also include when the thing was set to pending. So when the ONAP application attempted to make an update, and then when the update was complete and the pending was removed, then you could have another timestamp. But it depends on how long you wanted to keep that data in the CPS. So I mean, all of these things. We're just establishing ideas. So I would say that from a design perspective, we're still at brainstorming session. Mm-hmm. Or brains, you know, it's very early.
I want to make one point clear, though, in that, because I was a bit confused about that myself. It's not the intention that the core functionality will be. This could be an add-on in a separate.
Oh yeah, it's a separate
data space. Yeah.
And then the question is, what component in ONAP owns that model that describes the pending state of updated? And, you know, then it kind of makes sense that that would actually be the XNF proxy to me. But I'm only, you know, I'm only throwing out ideas at this stage with the SON guys. And how do we work with SON and CPS? So it's interesting. It's good fun, actually. Ah, Ben's muted. I hope you're not talking, Ben.
Sorry, I was muted all this time. Oh, geez. Okay, so I was saying, basically, I looked up here in our last discussion with the SLAN team, and we said that they needed examples of the XPath queries, which maybe we still need to provide.
That's kind of pending my understanding of the models we're going to use. So I got some information about API methods they'd like to focus on. Hmm. But then, I really need to understand the models first before we can get to the queries.
Sure, that makes sense. Okay, and then the next thing I was saying was, where do we see some maybe open items here from the modeling discussion that we need to capture?
I think the modeling is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I think what the modeling allows us to do, the information model now clearly describes the concept of vendor supplied models in the design time being represented or just being used to describe data that's available in the runtime without specifying what that is. And that's perfect from a model-driven perspective, because it means that any model can be represented and then data relating to that stored at the runtime. And that's what we need. You know, everything else is kind of icing on the cake. So I don't want to rock that boat. Yeah. I think I would love to see that vote pass. Hmm. And I know it's out for a vote.
Right. Right.
And then we definitely have enough to carry on with.
Okay, good. And are there any sort of action? I guess some of these seem like sort of action items that we want to eventually explore on the CPS level, maybe over time, but maybe nothing immediate.
Yes, absolutely right. I mean, we have to cover all this kind of stuff, but yeah. I think a lot of it's going to come out of our discussions with mm-hmm. SAN and slicing, because we have to address a lot of, not all of them, the migration ones, for mm-hmm. example, we don't have to address in the short term. I think we have higher priority stuff.
Okay, very good. Okay, then on to anything, any other thoughts or comments on this topic? All right, then next is the release info and status. Status.
I was talking to myself there.
Oh yeah.
Is that just related to R8 then, is it? Or
sorry, what this?
The release info status is just
both. So for release 7, what is 7? Let me see. Yeah, it was 7.
Two requirements in 7. One was a POC and the other one was the
So is there anything open in 7 at all that we need to think about, is I guess was what I was about to get to. Are we done with 7 completely? Is there anything we need to do to finish up or anything?
Well, what was the gyra for that? I mean, it might be worth looking, make sure that I closed it off properly, because sure. I'm a novice on this one.
Was it 427 or am I mixing it up with a new one?
Here, I think you're mixing it up.
Here it is, 384.
That's the POC one.
Yep. Okay. So that's the POC one.
And if you go down, because I cloned the one that you wrote for R7, because I couldn't clone one at the time.
Okay.
But if you can find
it down.
Yeah,
down
somewhere.
This page.
It's a clone of you. I think it's in the links from.
427, that's what one I called.
Here,
clones, 322. Yeah.
Okay.
So if that's the one that I closed as well, or said was done.
Okay.
You wrote that one, Ben. And I was the assignee.
This is the original, just R7 work. That's not the POC, yes.
That is not the POC, and this is done.
Okay. This is being done by essentially the SAN PCI team, I think.
Right. Yes, and they had regression test activities which were partially implemented but did cover this functionality. I asked that before closing it. So there's a comment in here to state that. So that was, to me, fairly simple. I don't think I needed to do anything else with it.
Okay.
And then the POC one had the modeling, I think, attached to it. And it might have been attached to 322, but I think it was actually attached to the POC. And I've now moved that to Tuan's 427. Was that the number, Tuan?
Yeah, that's the new one, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. So underneath that.
Underneath that. This.
Sorry, in 427, there's an issue link.
427. In 427.
Yeah, that's the new one.
Oh, that's the R8 one?
That's the R8 one, yeah.
Gotcha.
I moved that. Jacqueline's story to that.
R8 is here, I think.
Because that one wasn't complete.
Yeah, sure. Well, nothing in R8 should be complete.
No, in R7, because it hadn't passed the vote. The vote is out, but it wasn't complete. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would have been done in R7.
You mean this one?
Yeah.
Gotcha. I see. So you're saying this was in R7 and now is in R8.
Yeah. So if you scroll down a little bit, there's issues in Epic.
Issues in Epic.
You're bouncing. There you go. Is blocked by show one more links, I think. No, where's the issues? It was here. I know I added it.
Requirement table. Okay, but anyway, this is the modeling stuff. Is that what you're saying?
I added the modeling to this one. This is the one that Tuan wrote.
Oh, I see.
This is the CPS one for R8. And then
This started in R8. It didn't go from R7 to R8, right?
No, no.
This started in R8, yeah.
Okay, but you're saying there's another JIRA that started in R7, got pushed to R8. That's the modeling work. Okay, let me see.
Is that the 322 that you have open there, two tabs to the right?
No, it was a story, not an epic.
Oh, okay.
So it was the story that was hanging off.
I remember. I remember seeing it on my backlog.
Let me see.
Yes, I hope you didn't delete it.
No, I didn't.
Oh, there it is. Modeling. What's that?
No, this is just the modeling tracking page.
Yeah, sorry.
That's just the modeling tracking page. Well, let's see if we can find it in a different way.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it as well. I'll have to move this window, though. Exit full screen.
Still trying to log in here. Okay, and I think maybe we can search on. That might return a lot of stuff, though. Let me see. Maybe it's under CPS, maybe?
No, it's under modeling, but it's linked from the...
Oh, it's a modeling
requirement?
Oh, okay, let me see if it's here then, maybe.
So it did briefly appear in your backlog, Tuan.
Yeah, but that was before I changed project, so I'm trying to find my old board now.
It would have been in the last day or two.
Is it? No. Is it 382, this one?
I can't see what 3. Yes, I think so.
Model-driven application data work for...
There it is. Epic Link, Configuration and Persistency Service R8. That's it. It's in the Epic Link.
Mm, okay.
And that should have updated the other one somehow, but I guess it didn't.
But that's the one you think should move to R8, Tony.
Yes, it has to. It wasn't complete in R7. And it will very soon be complete because the vote is out.
It's already in R8, so that's fine. Do we need to note that? Okay. So what's the status? Blah, blah, blah. And Jacqueline wrote 3 days ago, yes, it needs to be moved. And has
and then I moved it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Good.
But I don't know why it's not. I don't know why it's not linked to Tuan's Epic. We should have been able to navigate to it from Tuan's Epic. So it might be good to actually explicitly put that.
Right. Let's do that.
Actually, I see it. Issues when I log in. I see it because it's an issue in the Epic. There's a new, you get an additional field. We were looking at the issue links, but when you log in, because I just did that, you get issues in Epic and then you can actually see it.
Okay, let me see.
When you log into JIRA.
Maybe that was the problem. Hold on, let me. Okay. 3, I have too many windows open. Let me just close this.
Yeah, 427, no, that was the one.
Sorry. So 427 is the R8 JIRA. Let me open that.
Yeah. And once you're logged into that, you should see issues links and then issues in Epics. And there's the model 382. Okay. Yeah. But you don't see that unless you're logged in.
I wasn't logged in. Yeah. And I don't know why it doesn't share a login with this, but I have to log in separately. Okay, good.
Right, then.
We are linked. Everything is good. So that's great. And Let me check the R8 planning, modeling planning page, which should be here somewhere. Let me see. I go here. I think I put a link to it off of here. By the way, you know, the main RA, I'll put this in the chat here. This chat, where's the chat? Chat. So this like portal, main RA portal page, I try to put like wherever I find like useful links, I try to put it all in one place so that people can easily find stuff. So this has the way of workings, and I sort of ordered them by how you would go about introduce or go about how you would need them as the release progresses, right? So first you're going to make requirements proposals and blah, 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 and then architecture reviews and so forth. So anyway, the R8 modeling page for CPS for Honolulu is here. Okay, good. It's here already. Okay, good. Great.
Sorry, can I ask a question about this Jira work now? I've created a bunch of epics to group the user stories that we're doing in R8. But I'm kind of wondering, should those epics be blocking requirement 4 to 7, or what way should we work?
That's up to you.
I can choose to do that, yeah, because another question I have is, and some of the epics might not even start in R8, and some of them definitely won't be completed in R8.
I kind of hold off on that until you had an absolute definite blocker. At the moment, I don't think you do. I think you'll have a better idea once you've actually agreed with SAN and end-to-end network slicing what the impacts and what exactly.
Yeah, I know they have created another epic, I presume, for their impacts on us. So yes. Again, I have a bit of a dilemma. Do I put user stories under that epic, or do I put them somewhere else?
You let them agree. Sorry, you agree with them what the impacts are, and then I think they then have to document them. I think that's how it goes, Ben. Confirm, please.
Yeah, so basically that should, the you can completely define what blocks what, and okay. And generally that's arrived at through, you know, discussions between the teams that are working. There are a few sort of fixed guidelines, but they don't necessarily relate to the project thing. More like, for example, architecture has in the past blocked certain things just to make sure the architecture review happens. That's an example of a blocking thing. Those kind of things are, and then there's not too many of those sort of overarching organizations, but maybe integration, sometimes they have blockers as well. So it just kind of depends.
Yeah, it's just, I kind of started to understand, I realize epics can't have epics and there's only one layer. So the only way to kind of have kind of hierarchy is by using the blocks, and I'm kind of using that as a dependency tree, so I can see this depends on that, that depends on that, and so you could navigate through the gyras, the epics, and what we have, and organize our work. But yeah, it doesn't really matter that much. I'm just quite not sure, and that's what I'm asking, but I think I'm hearing the answer. What's expected from us in ONAP, or what should 4 to 7 have underneath it?
And probably we should also come to an sort of an agreement as well, just so we're consistent within the team. You know, when should something block something? Is a good, maybe architectural thing or whatever, a development thing to arrive at.
I'm using it as depends on at the moment, because actually the gyro I'm used to in the previous organization, we didn't have depends on, it was quite obvious, but blocks do. Yeah, usually kind of has a different meaning, but it's the only equivalent that was there that I could use.
Sure.
And that's, I guess you could always ask Kenny if you can add it, because he would find it useful. Because Jira at the back of it is just a database, and I think Kenny's the admin. So if you think that that's something that you'd like to work with, then I would imagine that Kenny'd be open to it, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I kind of assume because I have seen this going completely berserk, as in people having about 50 different types of relations,
yeah.
And that becomes a mess. And I think they're strict on it, and they're not extending it. And I can see why. And to me, blocks is good enough as long as we have an understanding of what it means. And I have as Ben said a minute ago, as long as we agree as a team when we use it.
Hmm. Okay.
Great. Okay, and moving on then to R8. So in R8, I think all we need right now is just to make sure that all our I's are dotted, T's are crossed to proceed. Let me just check.
The TSE statuses or stati. I don't know what's the right plural.
Status. Let me see. Hold on. All right. Project release. Come on. Dang it. Third tries the charm. All right. Okay. So in the release requirements, let's see. We are ticket 427. So we just talked about this. So I think we're probably pretty good here. Original scope not yet performed. M1 scorecard.
I find it funny. The Excel I put in a long time ago is still there.
Yeah. All right. So
it is still Excel, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It hasn't shrunk. If anything, it's just becoming bigger, Tony.
What you need is a hot wash.
All right.
Get the t-shirt size down.
Let me see. So, did I... Okay. Do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, we had some discussion on this and we didn't come back to it, but we depend on nobody. We don't, and this is what I still have a question about. Are we impacting Sun or Sun just impacting us?
Yes.
I think we're impacting Sun. I don't know that Sun impacts us per se exactly.
No, Sun impacts us.
Yeah.
We're driving our user stories based on what Sun needs.
Yeah.
Actually, the way I look at it, Ben, is we have nothing. We have a system that can't store young information yet.
Yeah.
So Sun wants to store young model data.
Yeah.
So they impacting us. We need to provide them with the functionality to store young model driven data and query it. Hmm. So the way I see it is they impacting us.
I agree with you, Tuan.
Then do you need a is blocked by to their JIRAs?
No, but we possibly will be blocking their JIRAs.
Yeah.
But for me, that says that they have a dependency on us, not vice versa.
They do have a dependency on us.
But that's not what you just said.
If you look at 429, I think, if I remember correctly, Ben, I think it's requirement 429.
I think that's the one they created.
It is.
Yeah.
So
that's the one they created.
Okay. So I guess my point is, shouldn't 429 show up somewhere in our relationship with 427? Those two things are related, aren't they?
Yeah. So is 429 blocked by 427 the other way around?
However we think it is, we should probably note it. And there should be either a
You can do this relates to. That's actually an option as well.
Yeah, I mean it's related to. It's either we can't proceed until 429 is done. Okay, that's is blocked by, and we are associated with them at least. We should be mentioned by probably at a minimum, right?
Mentioned in is used for confidence pages, and when you edit it, if you go to edit mode, Ben, you can add a link and then you can choose related to, or you can choose blocked by, and there's one or two more other options.
Hmm. Okay, let me see.
I think you have to go to more. No, I think you have to go to more in the main menu.
Sorry,
I said that. Yeah.
In the main menu. Yep.
So you're behind this, cancel that, and then I think it's more there. Yeah. And then there is link.
link.
I'll go down.
Yep.
Up a little bit there, link. Yep. And
then you have a relationship type.
Yeah, you can define what type of relationship. So now you can do blocked.
And you just say relates to. Yeah.
Yep.
I just keep it simple. We're related to this for sure, right? So, and.
Yeah, that's kind of avoids that to solve a step application. Yeah.
Somebody has to ask a question later on, and then you can fudge it some more.
Yeah. Now this comment will actually not really appear as it's just a loose comment at the bottom of the JIRA. I don't know why they do it this way.
Hmm. Okay.
You won't see that this comment is related to the fact that you put this issue in, but you can put it in anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I would mention the requirement 4 to 9 in the text of the comment again, because otherwise the association isn't clear.
Okay, that's fine. link. Reload.
Relates to.
Okay, great. That looks good. Any comments on this? Everybody? Do we also need the end-to-end network slicing, something like that too?
Once we've had the conversation with them, I think we should wait for that.
Yeah, okay, right. Let's wait until we have a conversation. That's a good point. So, linked.
Maybe stick in requirement 4 to 7 itself here first, Ben. Oh, you have it already.
4 to 9. Okay. Let me just save this before I lose work here.
That's always never painful.
Happened. So, all right. Okay. Hello, edit. There we go.
I did notice this morning I got a mail that M0 was blocked, or I forget what, we had some kind of saying that we didn't get M0, but is it Jacqueline? She cleared it, so our M0 is now progressing, I presume?
So let me see. That's actually a good thing to talk about here. So let's take a look at the release schedule. So today's Friday, yes. Yesterday, the TSC approved R7. So it was a big fanfare and hullabaloo that R7 was officially signed off and released, and that date is updated here to reflect that for December 3rd. And then R8 has a couple of kind of odd. Well, the M drops are different now a little bit. So there used to be 4 M drops, and now there are there used to be up to an M4, and now there's just an M3. They sort of combined M2 and M3 together. So what used to be API freeze and is now this sort of spec freeze, and M4, the old M4 is now what's called the feature freeze. So
I'm sorry, when they say spec freeze here, does that mean freezing the definition of the spec or just freezing the implementation of the spec? I hope not the latter, because
so now there's these global requirements, these non-functional requirements. And let me go to the other thing and show you. So this probably has to change a little bit too. So
yeah, I thought it explains the difference between spec and features somewhere.
Spec is only one. So basically, these were the M drops before. So M0 was proposal, planning, and kickoff, and then requirements, use case definitions, and then developing the data model at M2, and M3 used to be the API freeze, and M4 was the code freeze. What's happened is there's still this code freeze, and it still means what they mean. It probably was a bad idea to rename that wherever it is. they renamed it to feature freeze, but that still corresponds to this code freeze. So basically that's when our code is supposed to be delivered. So you should still basically read that as basically we're, you know, code freeze. and these two drops have been combined and they're now calling that M3 as spec freeze. So it basically data model develop, they're kind of looking at the data model as the API as kind of specifications for the use case essentially.
That's correct. That's a good idea. Because yeah, you can really get tight coupling, especially when you get things like shared information models,
right,
or shared data, that becomes an interface.
Right. So that's essentially what they're calling now spec freeze. And there's an M1 has changed a little bit as well. I keep going to this. So it's now global requirements approved. And what that means is this is the what used to be called the NFR, non-functional requirements. So they're now called global requirements. And so this is the, let me go to the page here. So you'll see, for example, the architecture reviews that I just went to a second ago for the non-functional requirements. Here, okay. So these are the non-functional requirements, basically. You know, things like IP complete Python language and the upgrade from Java 8 to Java 11 was a big non-functional requirement in R7. And those are what are called now global requirements. So that's a. I think the thing is, there's still, as you see, for our functional requirements, we're still going through the process of architecture presentations and defining the use cases and what we got to do in the epics and all these other things. So you see, those are still relevant. let me see. And so that's how they're. I mean, you see, things are changing with these release drops and content things, and they're still trying to keep RCs 0, 1, and 2. But so some of the talks I've had with on the release cadence and stuff too is this is still very much sort of waterfall like, and I think they're trying to move to less of a waterfall like thing and more of a an agile like sprints instead, so you wouldn't even have these M drops. So I think it's hard for them to get out of that mindset, I think. So maybe
the main thing that worries me at looking at this diagram is the short space between the M2 and actually the M1 and the M3 feature freeze, if that's effectively our code freeze at the end of February. That's a relatively short time. And I remember, I think there was a lot of discussion in the Gaten release as well, how little time there was actually for code changes.
Yeah, right. So that's absolutely true, and that's a very good observation. So the previous releases from release 1 to release 6 was a 27.5-week cycle, and this is just a 19-week cycle. So it's a much shorter cycle. So I think ultimately what that means is you need to plan accordingly, and not try to shove too much into one release. So I think they're trying to have more releases in a year too, and maybe they planning shorter cycles, knowing that things almost every release in the past 3 or 4 releases has been pushed out by a few weeks. So maybe they're intentionally squeezing stuff, knowing that things will expand. I don't know, but those are some sort of open questions that I'm not so sure.
But it definitely makes us focus on what is the scope for Honolulu, and we need to be very careful.
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially with something as completely new as we're doing.
Yeah. It also, I think, I don't know. Well, it's probably smart to try to move towards a more agile thing. And they're also, they've talked about a sort of train model where you hop on the train, and as the train leaves, if you didn't make it, you know, you didn't make it, but you just get onto the next train for delivery.
Yeah.
So Okay, anyway, that's kind of that. And I think it should also be noted the R8 is the release that they're trialing this new way of doing things. So it's definitely kind of new to how they're doing stuff. So this is, you know, somewhat new to how they're planning stuff. So I think we're all learning as we go forward here. Okay, so I think we've talked, that was some of the stuff I wanted to mention in R7 and R8. So I think we got a lot of that cleared up. Any thoughts or comments on that? Okay, we're almost out of time. Let me just see if there are other things from previous things we need to talk about here. Okay, it looks like we don't have too many big open points, so I think that's good. All right, any other topics we want to talk about from anybody? Okay, if not, maybe we'll end the call here. And and for those of you who are interested, the SAN PCI call will be after this one, and maybe we can bring up some of the topics about the XPath queries and model priorities and things like that on that.
Sure, definitely. Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, yep. Great. All right, thanks everybody. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Ben.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.